This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking.
Evening, it's Monday, the 2nd of December. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen, and this is your Biz News Briefing. We've got a jam-packed show for you today, and our lead story is with cancer warrior and surf ski world champion Oscar Chlipsky. We'll delve into that interview. He was diagnosed with cancer 5 years ago and given just 6 months to live. Truly inspirational story. We'll also focus on retail stocks that had a fair showing last week, with the Boxer IPO taking center stage and Spa's results coming out. We talked to Evan Walker from 36 Asset Management to get his rundown on those retail stocks. And we also look at Trump's tariff threats with our partners in Bloomberg, and or from Bloomberg rather, who've got their fingers on the pulse of international politics. We also get a take from South Africa's Kevin Lings, chief economist at Stanlib. Let's have a look at the markets before we go any further. A good showing on the JSE today, with all resources indices in the positive. Resources up almost 1.5%. Industrials to the positive, almost 2.5% stronger. Financials 0.2% to the positive, and the top 40 index ending 1.75% to the good. Taking a look at the currencies this Monday, the 2nd of December, we've got the Bitcoin price hovering at just below $97,000. We've got the dollar rand at 18.20, pound rand at 22.98. Looking at some of the top movers, or rather some of the top headlines today out on the JSE news service. Naspers interim results for the 6 months to the end of September out. That stock ending 5% higher. Process also with its interim results out, and that stock 3.75% to the positive. Alexander Forbes also reported their interim results for the 6 months to the end of September and declared a cash dividend, market rewarding that, up 1.75%. The top movers and losers today: Karoo, adding to its strong showing last week, up almost 5%, Kumba 4% to the positive, and Anglo adding 3.8%. On the downside, ARK Invest down close to 2%, DRD Gold falling 1.75%, and Dis-Chem losing ground on the day, 1.75% to the negative. As I said earlier, our lead story this evening is with surf ski world champion and cancer warrior Oscar Chlipsky. 5 years ago, he was diagnosed with cancer and given just 6 months to live. His story is a truly inspiring one, and hopefully if you are going through any hardship, you will draw strength from his steadfast mindset and no surrender.
It all started on the 25th of November. It's actually five days ago, whenever it is, on the 25th of November 2019, when I had this terrible pain in my back. And the reason why it's the 25th of November 2019, because on the 26th of November 2019 was our wife's 60th birthday, and I organized a surprise party in the Douro Valley in Portugal. The only thing she got was a surprise to say, no, you've got cancer and you've got 6 months to live. I mean, when you get that, it's like it's a big shock. But you see, the difference between where I react and Claire reacted is that I was shocked, and I probably shed a tear or two. My wife was very upset. And then I stopped after like 1 minute of crying and said, okay, listen, at the time I was 56 years old. I said, listen, what I've done in my 56 years, most people take two or three lifetimes to do. So you've got to live every life. And I think that's where you change. And you've got to realize that whatever you're doing today is going to help you in the future. You never know. You never know. I mean, like, I didn't know. I mean, like, as you know, I do a lot of sport. And one of my biggest wins was age 49, winning my 12th world title at age 49. And again, I did things differently to everybody else because at 49, I couldn't do one pull-up. The guy came first, came second and third and fourth. They can do thousands. So you have to think differently. It's like doing this in business and family. You've got to think differently if you're going to beat a beast that is so much better than you. You've got to think differently and do different ways. And I think that's where it all started, to realize that everybody's got it in them. You've got it in. Everybody's got it in. You've got it there, but you've got to just think. And I always talk about, and we all talk about gut feel. You know, the reason why it's called gut feel, it's because it comes from here. It comes from the heart. You've got to find a different way. And that's what I did. And that's what I have been doing. I mean, not many people would fast for 21 days. I mean, exactly 1 year ago to this day, they also gave me 1 or 2 days and said, bring the family. I said, no, I'm not ready to go anywhere. And they tried all the medicines. And I said, okay, I'm going to try my medicine, which is I'm going to fast for 21 days. And people think I'm crazy. But I mean, I'm here to tell the story because I thought differently again. And you've got to. And the other thing I like to say to everybody is that we all are getting older. We agree on that. But we should all be getting wiser because we should be educating ourselves, not just and just read up and listen and learn, because you can learn so many things and you make yourself cleverer the older you get. So you can do something better than just getting old, you know, like I'm getting.
So I want to go back to the sport aspect, and of course you are a world champion sportsman. So when you say you won the Molokai Challenge, right, at the age 49, you're actually a 12-time winner of the Molokai Challenge. I want you to just take us through that mental challenge in terms of you do a lot of coaching of sports people in terms of endurance and resilience and not giving up. And we'll talk about your book in a little while. But talk to me about the sporting side.
Yeah, so that's where it all starts, you know, and this is what life's all about, is doing the hard yards before and doing things differently. So understand, in 1983, at the age of 20, when I raced my first world title in racing against a guy called Grant Kenny, who was a similar age, he'd won 4 years in a row. So understand this. So straight away, I'm in the back for this guy's won 4 years in a row. How do I beat this guy from Australia? And the first thing you got to learn is you got to know that people that have come before you, you've got to learn from them first and then take all the information from them and then try and beat them. And that's what I did the very first time out. So the very first time out, I went neck and neck with him. And when I could see the finish line, because the Molokai is between two islands, so when I could see the finish line, I said, okay, I'm going to go for it because I've done my homework. And that's the most important thing. Yes, winning the race is all, but you've got to do the homework. You've got to do the hard yards. You've got to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And again, my sport, and like most people that are listening here, haven't got full-time sportsmen. They are trying to balance family life, home life, exercise, trying to make the boss happy. And that's what life's about, is getting that balance. But you've got to think a bit clever. So when I'll take you back to the 12th Molokai. So the first one was, I actually won by a long way, by something like 15 minutes, and broke the record by 14 minutes and beat Grant Kenny. So it was relatively easy because I was young and as far as, but when you get to age 49 and you set the goal to say, okay, now I want to win this race, how do I do it? You've got to do things differently. So I was training in Durban. And the middle of summer, I was wearing a full wetsuit. So it was hellish hot because I know when I'm going across the channel, it's going to be hot. Then I just trained with other people and I put a weight in it. Weight in my surf ski, 10 kilogram lead weight. I never forget, from Sydney Lazarus from Non-Ferrous Metal, another one of your clients. So I put this lead weight, so it made it harder. And then I worked out about, this is in 2012, about the keto diet, about losing. So I stopped drinking. I lose 25 kilograms of weight. Because these are things you have to do. I've got to do that. And in the race itself, I actually didn't eat or drink anything for 3.5 hours. And people say, are you crazy? I say, no, I'm not crazy. I've studied this, is that when you drink anything or eat anything, your body has to use energy to digest it and dissolve the water and digest. And it takes the power away from your muscles that I needed to beat these guys. And over 3 hours, 23 minutes, the guy who came second, was Olympic gold medalist Clint Robinson, I beat him by 12 seconds. So you can imagine. And as I say, this guy doesn't even drink. He's like a beast. And he can do thousands of pull-ups and thousands of push-ups. I can do none of those, but I use my brain and I'm educated myself, reading books from Shackleton and reading financial books. You don't have to just read medical books. You read all different things and you just take in that information and it's up to you to use it and test it. And that's what I did.
No retreat, no surrender, the title of your book. And it is obviously not only about your sporting achievements, but also about your position as a cancer warrior, right? Talk to me about the book and where you are right now. I suppose, Oscar, also, I mean, 5 days ago, you read your last rites. I was in your LinkedIn profile and I was, again, you know, just I'm inspired by your resilience. So talk to me about the book.
So how the book came around. So once I'd got this news that I've got cancer, I said, okay, I phoned up my friend Graham Spence, who also wrote the book called Elephant Whisperer. And I said, Graham, I think I'm going to write a book. The reason is I've got cancer. And of course, he cried and said, no, you're joking. I said, no, but it's fine. We've got enough time. We've got 6 months. He said, no, the problem that I have with this, I'm on a deadline of 4 months. We've only got 2 months. I said, we'll write it in 2 months. But no, cancer is going to beat me in 6 months. Anyway, I told him. And I said, I want this book to be different. The most important thing about a book is I don't want people to say, oh, this is how you did. I wanted to teach people how to fight adversity. And that's how the book came about.
You can hear more about Oscar's cancer journey, his treatment later at 7 o'clock when the full interview premieres on BizNews TV. The book, No Retreat, No Surrender. Definitely inspiration if you are going through hard times. Well, as I said earlier, it was a big week for retail last week with Thursday's IPO with Boxer on the JSE, one of the most exciting listings on the JSE of late. I spoke to Evan Walker, who gave his view on the, by all accounts, successful listing. The listing price was at 54 Rand. Stock rallied to 66 Rand, closed just 1% softer today. I got Evan's view on whether you should be accumulating Boxer for the long term. He also speaks to SPAR's results that came out last week, and that stock closing up just 0.5% stronger today.
Certainly has been, Bronwyn, a great new listing for the South African market, as it's been, you know, long overdue, a couple of new listings. Always nice to see that. And obviously the appetite for a great business, obviously coming out the Pick and Pay stable. So a little bit of an uplift in the Pick and Pay share as well. Coming to the market at 54, currently trading just near 66. So, I mean, that's nice upside potential for shareholders that managed to get in and obviously get some shares. It was obviously fully subscribed and came onto the market quite aggressively. Looking a little bit fairly priced now. We're not going to see huge earnings growth for next year. The big earnings momentum only comes into 2026 as we see the store roll-ups, etc., progress through the back half of that year. So they have guided for next year and the year after in terms of the progress. I think you can still buy here, but I mean, your near-term upside is probably a little limited. You will get quite a nice dividend out of Boxer come the year, which is a Pick and Pay year end, which is February. So you should get paid that bump sort of May, June. So there's a bit of a dividend coming your way, but certainly now, you know, potentially looking a little bit expensive in the near term, but I think, a great 3 to 5 year view on a stock like this, you'll still make money.
And that's exactly where I wanted to go, the 3 to 5 year view. So if you can get in with that objective, would that be a fair takeaway?
100%. I mean, this is a business that we think has still got a lot of legs. It obviously serves up in an element of the market. We know there's some big competitors in that market, but there's still a big informal sector, which, you know, Bronwyn, I don't think anyone in South Africa quite understands the size of that market, just the population densities, the size of the population there, the amount of, obviously, immigrants coming into South Africa, the amount of, obviously, disposable income and informal market. We just got no real idea how big that market actually is. Obviously Boxer still looking to, get into untapped areas of the market. And it's a very select business. It's trying to target a certain end of the customer base. It's not trying to be a be-all to everyone. So I think still a great business, a lot of prospects for the next 3 to 5 years. If I bought it today, I'd be happy to sit on it.
And let's talk to the SPA results. What did you make of them last week? Is this also one to start looking at quite seriously, or has it run too hard?
Bronwyn, no, I think this is a business where, previous management, not current management, made some unmitigated disasters overseas. I mean, this was really a disastrous showing. This offshore acquisition strategy of these was terrible. They made one good acquisition in Ireland, They got ahead of themselves. They started chasing, you know, acquisitions in Switzerland, in Poland, in the UK, and those have been an absolute disaster. So, you know, to the extent that this current management team has recognized the fact that this business needs to be recapitalized, you know, obviously a lot of that debt sits on the SA balance sheet now, having exited Poland. They're bringing back a lot of this debt. I think this is not a bad business to buy now. The results were a bit muted. There was second half a bit of slowdown. There's a lot of moving parts there. But again, if you step back a little bit again, I think this management team sells up offshore. That potentially could keep this, the Irish business, which is a good business. I would flog it all, to be honest with you. If they were clever enough, I think they'd flog it all. They bring what money back. They sort this SA balance sheet out and they put themselves on another playing field. They could potentially keep Ireland because it's not a bad business, the Irish business, so they've done quite well out of it. But the rest have been terrible. And I think they've realized that they just can't make money there. So they'll bring that. They'll obviously, they've exited Poland. I think they exit Switzerland. They can make a little bit of money. They'll certainly return some cash to the South African balance sheet. The South African balance sheet, debt-wise, did de-gear a little bit, which was the big positive in the results, that the debt came down. But, you know, they haven't paid a dividend in a couple of years. And this was an unbelievably good business. You know, from the early 2000s, you know, all the way until, you know, 5-6 years ago, this business was an exceptionally good business, well-run, good dividend yield that grew every year, strong franchise base. But this offshore strategy, again, really did slip. And obviously kept management tied up in other ventures, which they shouldn't have been involved with. New management team coming in, new clean slate. I think you can still buy this business. I think there's a lot of upside if they sort this SA balance sheet out.
Are you getting the right messages from management in terms of their intention to sell off the offshore assets beyond Ireland?
I think we're starting to read between the lines now, because they've given us some implied values which they could realize on these businesses. And I think I just think they know that up against the landscape, also there's a different landscape. I mean, Pick n Pay is recapitalized now. They've got a different competitor. They only really had one in ShopRite, and ShopRite's not getting any weaker. You know, so they've got they're really up against a formidable competitor in ShopRite. Pick n Pay is now recapitalized. They can't sit here with a weak balance sheet and hope that things are going to get better. They've got to fix this SA business. There's a lot that they have to do here, and they need money. And they need to pay shareholders again. They need to pay us a dividend. So, you know, I think this management team, you know, knows they don't come in with any legacy issues. And again, I think they're doing the right thing. So again, another management team with another clean around strategy. And I think if you give them 18 to 24 months, I think it'll happen sooner. In fact, I think it'll happen sooner, that they'll come and sort this balance sheet out.
Well, that's Evan Walker, 361 Asset Management, giving the SPA management team the thumbs up. Just reminding you, that stock closing 0.5% stronger today. And just reiterating on Boxer, that stock IPO'd at 54 Rand, currently at 66 Rand, slightly softer on the day, just giving up over 1%. Well, Trump's tariff threats are making headlines across the world, and we turn our attention to our international partners at Bloomberg to get the latest on Trump's political moves.
These are familiar figures. If you were paying attention to the first Trump administration, they both had a role. They're pretty well known, and that means they're well known to Trump, too.
Yes, these are both folks that basically just got a little bit of a promotion from where the role they had last time. Greer was at USTR. He was chief of staff to Lighthizer, who was really the architect behind Trump's first term tariffs. And Kevin Hassett was at CEA doing a little bit more sort of hypothetical work. Now he'll be sort of the front person in the White House on all the economic policy, coordinating taxes, tariffs, all of that, which will be, you know, a major priority for the president-elect in the first, you know, days, essentially.
Yeah, it already is, as evidenced by his truths about tariffs on our three largest trading partners this week. And based on what we know of Greer, especially that he had a role in implementing tariffs in the first Trump administration, there is no sign that he would depart from the president-elect in any way when it comes to this issue, right? In fact, he's advocated for strategic decoupling from China.
Yes, he is really a true believer of tariffs. We can expect sort of the same fervor we saw in the first administration, which also what we saw in the tweets that came out on Monday night. That is going to be continued. Where this is going to get a little bit tricky is you have folks like Scott Bessent at Treasury mm-hmm. and Kevin Hassett at NEC who are a little bit more markets friendly, are a little bit more concerned about, you know, what the impact of sort of going, you know, full bore on some of these tariffs. They have, you know, sort of they've been more lukewarm on them. They've said, yes, we support the president. But I think that's where the tension is going to play out in the White House of how fast, how far and how quickly do they go there.
Let's bring you some South African perspective on Trump's tariff threats. Here's Kevin Lings, Stanlib's chief economist.
Essentially, I think what Trump's doing, I don't know, but I think what he's doing is setting a base for a negotiation around global trade and around related issues. So if you look at his statements about increasing tariffs for Canada and Mexico, which are the US's two biggest trade partners, that would be really silly within the North American framework. I think what he's doing is threatening them with tariffs in order to get them to agree to specific changes around border control. I think his idea about tariffs for the BRICS, or for that matter, any country, he said, that is trying to move away from the dollar, again, I think that's more a negotiation stance rather than necessarily going to implement those types of tariffs. But what it does do is it will increase the antagonism towards the US. It will bolster any efforts to try and differentiate away from the dollar, to limit the role of the dollar in as a world reserve currency. It will strengthen the resolve of China and Russia and other countries to form their own collective. It will strengthen the resolve within the BRICS. And so you're just going to end up with a more divided global economy, a more fractured world. You're going to end up with obstacles to global trade, and that's detrimental to everybody. Nobody wins that, in effect. But I think most of what he's doing is trying his approach in terms of negotiation style.
We'll obviously bring you more detail on Trump's tariff threats as more news comes to the fold. But every week, Chris Stain, BizNews' investigative journalist, speaks to United Independent Movement leader Neil Dabir. And this week, she got his take on MK's first birthday.
Neil, it is also the first anniversary of former President Jacob Zuma's MK party. Now, the critics are saying their political agenda is one of avoiding criminal responsibility and getting back into power so that they can loot again, this time under the guise of radical economic transformation. What do you say?
Yeah, why change something that's not broken? I mean, Chris, the mutation, and I'm bloody well not going to say happy birthday, Samur. I am very clear. The absolute structure, the build-up to the MK party has come long before this year. So I refute the fact that it's a one-year celebration. This has been long in coming. But Jacob Delisletle, Umsholozi Zuma, must not be heralded as the brain behind this. Because there's a far bigger picture lying behind the ambient of the now camouflage uniform members of parliament. This is something bigger than. There's a bigger plan than we know. Some of it is obvious. Some of it is being placed on the table and being shown to us. But very, very, very strategic. They let a couple of people go out of parliament, and up till date, interesting, Chris, there's more than 10 seats not filled yet again after they removed and purged the previous one.
You can catch that full interview on BizNews TV. Well, premiering at 7 o'clock tonight is that full Oscar Chalupski interview. He is a world surf ski champion and cancer warrior. Just 5 years ago, he was given 6 months to live, and he is still standing. His story is inspiring. At 8 o'clock, we have Rory Steyn premiering, and he will be talking about the rugby, Investec Rugby Championship that starts on Friday. He's also giving some insights into the Comrades Marathon. Alec will be back at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening with BizNews Briefing.
This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move to private banking service now for your business.